I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 1. So that's Joshua chapter 1. I want to read the whole chapter. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness, this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have great good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and be of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you, wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them, then you shall return to the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, and all that you command him shall be put to death, only to be strong and of good courage. Right, so let's have a look at Joshua. I will return to Proverbs some other time, but so it's nice to break it up. Now, as we enter the book of Joshua, I think it would be good to understand a bit how Joshua ended up leading the Hebrew people into the Promised Land. Moses was stopped from entering the Promised Land by God. He was old and had been disobedient to God's command by striking the rock. But he was allowed to see the Promised Land, but not enter it. When you think about it, they were going in to take the land that God had promised them. And possibly a younger, stronger, physically stronger man would probably be a better option. So was Joshua just picked at random by God? Did he look down and say, he looks a likely candidate? He's about the right age. Looks like he could be a good leader. No. God doesn't work that way. He prepares people for the tasks he asks them to do. So we first hear of Joshua in Exodus 17, 8-6. And now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Ramadim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other, and one on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." So obviously Joshua was always already showing promise. And of course Moses had spotted it. In Exodus 24:13, we hear this. So Moses arose with his assistant, Joshua. Moses went up to the mountain of God. "When you are a great leader, you need someone to follow in your footsteps. Someone who will carry things on the way you want them to carry on." So when you come across a young man who shows great promise, it must be a great relief and give some peace of mind. You may ask the question, how do I know he was a young man? Well, Exodus 33:11 tells us this. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. In Numbers 13 and 14, Joshua was one of the spies that went to spy out the promised land. And out of the 12, 10 gave a bad report, but Caleb and Joshua gave good reports. Now, let's enter the passage. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. I can imagine Joshua being a bit of a loss at this stage. After all those years helping Moses, he now was going to become the leader. So verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now the first words suggest that this book is a continuation from Deuteronomy. But yet, it's the beginning of a new chapter in the nation's history. They'd been wandering in the desert for 40 years. Only but a few of the generation that started that wandering were still alive. And even their great leader had passed away. But that was the past. God was about to do something new. The land of promise was ahead. And the future beckons. Once they'd taken the land, their wandering days are over. And they can settle down, life in a town, grow crops. It was a daunting task, but exciting as well. But think about that first line, where it says, the servant of the Lord. One would hope that we would be talked of like that when we pass on. A servant of the Lord. But of course that was not said by man. That was said by God. And it should be our goal in this life to be a good and faithful servant. But then God speaks to Joshua. If he was feeling a bit down at this point, I should imagine he would suddenly be snapped out of it. God was saying, Moses is dead. Because of this, you now get up and take charge. Don't look back. Don't dwell in the past. Look forward. Take the people over the Jordan into the land I have given you. Being under a great leader like Moses for so long would have prepared him for this moment. But as I'm sure some of you will know, when you have to step up, being prepared or not, it is still quite a daunting. Joshua had now to put into practice all he had been taught by Moses. He couldn't turn to Moses for advice anymore, but he could turn to God. And that would have been a great comfort to Joshua. Knowing God was in the situation, knowing God was going before you, gives you comfort and confidence to press on forward. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. They had already been told of the land of where they had to possess. And God reminds them it is still the same plan that he had told to Moses. It was some task that lay ahead, but they had the promise of God. It says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. It's quite a promise. And that must have given them strength and courage. But it gets better. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Wow. He had seen God working with Moses for a long time. Imagine that being a really good confidence booster. But then, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Joshua at this time must have been full of confidence and peace about the task ahead. If your courage is wobbling a bit, knowing that he will not leave you or forsake you is a great promise. God likes people who stick to what they say. He likes people who have, if you word, I don't know if it's an actual word, but stickability. They keep going when times get tough. They are determined to stick to the job until God says otherwise. We as Christians should have a good name for doing what we say we will do. It's one way of showing Christ to the world. If we are dependable, then how much more is Jesus? Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is telling them he's with them. Be strong and of good courage, because you will take the land and divide the land as an inheritance, which he'd already sworn to them, to their fathers, to give them. If you trusted in God as Joshua did, you would have no doubts or fears about the future, because God has ordained it. God does not change his mind halfway through. God says, oh, I've had enough of this. But you need to do your part, and he will do his. All they needed to do was to be obedient to his word, and success was theirs. Verse 7 seems to repeat about being strong and courageous, but he's reminding them and encouraging them to follow the law, which Moses had commanded them to. So of course, he says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. God is saying, you stick to my word. You stick to the law of God, and you will achieve what you set out to do. There's an undertone there, here though, that you may prosper. God is saying, no wavering from my ways, because if you do, you may not prosper. In today's church, unfortunately, they do turn to the left and they do turn to the right, and then wonder why they don't prosper. Here in Joshua's day, the principle of how God is shown to us, how God works is shown to us. But of course, a lot don't study the Old Testament writings. Let's face it, they're not relevant anymore, are they? They think they're in the past, they don't count. How wrong they are. By studying these books, we find out how God works, and it still applies today. Here in verse 8, it tells us why we should study the Word of God, that you may observe to do according to all what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. It's not complicated. It's not some great mystery that only a few know about. It's quite simple, really. Study the word, follow the word, apply the word, and our ways will be prosperous. And you will have success. It's as simple as that. You don't need a degree in theology to understand that. You just need to be obedient, and the rest will follow. In situations like this, God has commanded us to be strong. We don't need to fear or get dismayed. God is going before you. All we need to do is not get in front of God. Be prepared to move at any time and watch out for God moving. But give him time to move. Just be ready and be flexible, like the reed blowing in the wind. While the people were in the desert, they waited for God to move first. And that's what we should do. We can get in the way. I know, I've done it myself. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Joshua is ready. Ready to take on the leader's role. So he sends out the command for the people to prepare themselves. And they've got 3 days. Then we cross the Jordan. They needed to take provisions so they would not go hungry or thirsty. Yes, God would provide for them. But they can help themselves. No longer do they have the manna every morning. They're going into a land where it's milk and honey. There's lots of food around. But going in ready, they're going fully prepared. Notice, though, the thought of crossing the river never seems to take... It seems to be taken in their stride. Even though most of that generation that had crossed at the Red Sea had passed away, they would have been well aware of the first crossing over 40 years ago. They'd seen God's provision over that time, and even seen God's presence in the tabernacle. So crossing the Jordan would have been taken as a possibility, not as a big problem. Verse 12. Unto the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he has given you, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. So in effect, there was two and a half tribes going to stop on this side of the Jordan. And Moses was just reminding them Joshua was just reminding them what Moses had said. That first, they must help their brethren take the land before they can rest. They were one people, different tribes, but one people, and working together so all can rest sooner. I often wonder what would happen if all of God's people, all of God's family, actually came together as one people. What a force we would be. Unfortunately, the Church of God seems very fragmented, quite often at war with each other over trivial things. There is too much of self and not enough of Jesus in the churches today. Jesus wants unity amongst his people. They are much stronger as one. We could achieve much, much more. So verse 16. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your word, in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. I don't know if they were tempted to stay on that side of the Jordan, but it would appear not. Not only did they agree to follow Joshua, but they were totally committed to finishing the task before them, willing to go where they were needed and commanded to go. I'd like to think that all of God's people were like that. That if God says, right, I want you to be a missionary in wherever, we would go. They were paying Joshua a compliment here by saying that they trusted him just as much as they trusted Moses, but reminded him that God was with Moses and they wanted the same from Joshua. They would all know Joshua, and because they trusted Moses, they would trust his assistant, who had taken over the role as leader. In modern life, assistants are usually chomping away at the bit, wanting to take the boss's place, waiting for a chance to prove themselves. But it would appear Joshua was quite willing to sit under Moses and learn all he could. A sign of a great leader, and one who was under God. So the people reinforce their commitment by saying, if someone rebels or doesn't follow your commands, they will be put to death. That was a message to anyone thinking of stepping out of line. Don't. Or you will face the consequences of your actions. Why did they need to say that? Think about it. They were leaving their families to go and fight a war, to take the land for the other tribes. It would have been a lot easier for them just to say, no, we're stopping here. Stopping here with his families. There's enough of you, you know. There's enough for you to go and fight. But they knew all the way along that God wanted them as a nation to occupy the land. So that's why they were determined. That's what they were determined to do. They would do all this if God was with him. And he needed to show strength and courage. They wanted the same from Joshua as they got from Moses. That's all they asked. A strong leader gives the people following confidence that they know what they're doing. And we have a strong leader. I don't mean Alan. Well, I do mean Alan, but I mean, we have a strong leader, Jesus. One who does know what he's doing. And one who will always be with us, whatever we face. Amen.